I'm Danielle.
What is the name of the podcast, Danielle?
I have to say the that never happens.
Oh, this does not?
No, it doesn't. Oh, wow, now you just ruined the intro. Okay. Chris is also here.
Yes, I am here. Apologies.
Yes, and this is the 250.
This is the 250.
Also,
yes.
If you didn't know from the title of the article that you clicked,
the headline,
or the little blurb beforehand,
man, it's winter season, dude.
This
I'm
is the
just,
250.
I'm losing my mind right now, and I am seriously considering, as I've communicated to everybody in this office, of which there are three,
yes,
not just Danielle and I,
I'm counting us.
The trolls are back. That I'm willing to throw myself off my back deck if it means that I don't have to attend school for the rest of this month.
Don't do that.
And by this month, I mean the beginning of next month, because today is leap day!
Woo!
It won't be when you listen to this.
But today, it's February 29th.
Right. That's
now.
Right. February 29th. Good times.
Yeah,
and on
yeah.
this day, February 29th, Danielle, what did we watch?
We watched The Prestige.
We watched The Prestige.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen The Prestige, click away.
Bye.
Well, if you're like me and, you know, you don't really care about having movies spoiled for you because you know you're never going to watch them,
yeah,
continue. If you actually are a decent human being and care about preserving your innocence, click away now.
What's happening in the Hoya?
The Hoya happens to have an actual office for their editor-in-chief that does not constitute the 3 feet at the top of the table in ours. We used to have that, and then people fell through the roof. C'est la vie. These things happen. Story for another time. Anyway.
Yes.
This movie.
Prestige.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Ah. I thought it was a Christopher Nolan film.
It was.
What I thought
it was.
The
really
entire time.
Was.
The entire time I'm like, oh my God.
Look at that, messing with time.
Jesus.
Yep.
I wonder if the notions and the idea for how they were going to do Batman were just spawned
mm-hmm.
on the set of this film.
Oh.
Like if Christian Bale and
they were just like
if Christian
this
Bale
is
and
just
Christopher
the precursor
Nolan
to what's really coming.
We're chilling like on the side, like, you know. Talking about how they were going to do this movie, and there's Hugh Jackman in the background, like with his hands on the glass, with the rain coming down behind him, you know, all sad, like, guys, please let me into the party. And then when they won't include him, he got mad, went to Fox, and just took a dump all over one of the most beloved superhero franchises
yes.
in all the world.
Tell us how you really feel, Chris.
Oh my goodness, oh, there's not enough time in the world, and certainly not enough memory on your computer for
yes.
that day. Apologies.
Right. Well,
what did you like about this film, Danielle? What did you
I really liked, okay, unlike Memento, I feel like this is what, I think Christopher Nolan likes making you, like, sit there and try and figure out what's happening, and I feel like that this movie did that for me, like, I got it before the end of the movie.
I only got one of them.
I got
only
the
got
whole
one
thing.
Of them.
I got
the whole thing.
Thing.
I only got one of them.
Because I was talking to my friend, but I was watching my friend, and we were, like, discussing it the whole time. So I feel like that, he really achieved
that.
That
yeah, okay.
Yeah, because we were sitting there, they're twins, and then there's clones, and we were like, I figured it out to like the fact that his friend was his twin.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like,
I only
on
got
it.
The clones. I did not get the fact that his friend was his twin. I didn't get that
really?
At all. Yeah, they
no.
do a really good job. They do a really good job of the thing that I said would have made Memento, or the thing that I said Memento didn't do so well for me personally, which was you know leave that trail of breadcrumbs
yeah.
until the payoff at the end.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it, but then thinking back on it after the twist
yeah.
for the brother, I was like, oh my God, the breadcrumbs are 100% there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's awesome. I do, however, think the other twist, though, as well, with the clones was really cool.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that I thought was when that trapdoor goes the first time you see the trick during the performance, what I thought was that it was just a misdirection for Christian Bale that Hugh Jackman had necessarily planted to get him down,
mm-hmm.
you know, into the basement.
Yeah.
And then that there was something, you know, there was some way that he managed to make it look like he was drowning or something like that. So I was like,
yeah, I was like, maybe he like figured out how
this.
To like, and then I was thinking because I felt like his wife's death was a little suspicious to me. Because, I mean, I get the whole, we were like, she wasn't in there for that long, and then, like, how did she, isn't she, like, a trained magician's assistant where, like, if that happened, she would be able to, like, remain calm and stuff like that? So I was like, maybe he figured out, and, like, maybe she's still alive
yeah.
at the beginning of the movie, because I was kind of questioning that at the beginning, but that didn't really come to anything.
Yep.
But,
no,
yeah.
No, that's fair. No, that's totally fair. But I think they did, for some reason, at one point, it just dawned on me. I was like, wait a second. There were two hats. There were two cats.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't just stop being this way now, would it?
Yeah.
And then there was kind of that sinking feeling, and then there's that really great shot at the end where it just kind of,
yeah.
you know, it's all sort of lit up by the fire, and you kind of see
horrible.
What it is.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And then when Michael Caine was
yeah.
like, I lied about drowning, feeling like it was coming home, like it's agonizing, and then you see how many of his clones that he drowned.
Yep.
That was cool. That was crazy. I was like, oh, that messed with me. That was
There's also another really interesting concept that they kind of touch on in that you never know. This is something, I'm going a bit at a tangent here, but the reason that people are so afraid to, technically the concept for teleportation exists, the scientists or people who think about this type of thing, which I'm not going to lie, I don't know why any university would ever fund this. Certainly not Georgetown with our vast budget for, you know, technological innovation and whatnot.
That's what we're known
but
for.
The scientists that for some reason are thinking about this and who have financial backers who are willing to see them through on this say that teleportation is really scary and really risky because what you're essentially doing is you are deconstructing like something. If let's say it's a person, you're deconstructing a person
and you gotta,
you're sending those atoms and
you
have to reconstruct them. Are you necessarily reconstructing the same thing?
Yeah.
It's kind of a ship of Theseus, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, a ship of Theseus type thing, where if you build a ship and then over the years you replace every single part of the ship,
is it the same ship?
Mm. And so they kind of touch on that. Hugh Jackman touches on that when he says, you would have no idea how terrifying it was doing that trick, never knowing if I was going to be the man in the box or the prestige, which is really scary. And I think was one of the better lines in the film because realistically, if you think about these two characters, you never really get a whole lot of personality outside of their obsession. And so to actually hear one of the characters express a genuine emotion that was not later like, I'm just kidding, I'm fine, I'm here to make your life terrible, to actually have Hugh Jackman be like, this was horrifying, I had to really come to terms with this and get a grip on myself, was like kind of refreshing because it's one of the only moments in the film.
Yeah, I felt like that was one of the things I didn't like about the film. Like, they were just like it's when Christian Bale and his wife or whatever, like, it was just like he met her and then like the next scene they're like, we're in love, and then they did it also with ScarJo, Olivia or whatever, and I was like, okay, I guess. It was like, it was too quick.
Oh my god,
like,
Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, you got,
oh my god,
you
Scarlett
can
Johansson.
Get that out of your,
no dude, everybody should be able to appreciate that the same way everybody can appreciate Chris Hemsworth. Everybody should be able to appreciate you're drumming your fingers on the table.
I guess.
Yeah.
We can.
Oh, I guess.
I mean.
Oh, you're a connoisseur. Please. Don't tell me you haven't shopped around. Scarlett Johansson is gorgeous.
Yes.
And she is very talented. Although I'm not going to lie, I felt like there were moments in the film where I was looking at both her and Christian Bale and going, oh my god, that is the worst accent I've ever heard in my entire life.
Hers? Yeah, but Christian.
No, Christian Bale's was worse for me. I'm sitting
isn't
there going,
isn't that his...
Blah, 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 blah,
I'm pretty sure
I'm
that's
like,
what he
is that
sounds
actually
like.
What he sounds
I
like?
I think that's what... I might have been a touch, but I'm like 99% sure that's
oh
like
God,
just what he sounds
that,
like.
Golly, on the one hand, like, I cannot believe that anybody actually sounds
I mean,
like that.
We watched The Departed, so I mean, if you could get through that, I mean...
True. I mean, but you're talking about a film, you know, with a number of Oscar winners. One very specific Oscar winner.
Yes.
Newfound Oscar winner.
Oh yes,
you know, who we admire.
Congratulations!
Very
I was so happy.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yes, I just. Oh, I'm so happy.
One that I'm sure, again, the rest of our office will be much happier to take
mm-hmm.
part in than I
yes.
will. But
anyway, I just I'm pretty sure that's what he sounds like, which is still weird to
really
me.
No,
but.
There's no way that. Oh my god. No, he's definitely. I mean, he certainly has an accent, but like that is a very specific kind of British
accent.
I think he
No, it's like real Cockney, but like I'm pretty sure.
It's not even that. It's like freaking like North, real industrial, like real weird.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've heard him talk before, and he is. I don't know if he's trained himself, and obviously he's a very talented guy.
I'm sure he like it's easier for him
yeah.
to like do that as opposed
oh,
to like
sure,
an American
sure,
accent.
Sure,
but like
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's like pretty close to what
really,
he sounds like.
Really, because I think it's so funny. I think ScarJo did a better job of doing her accent than maybe he did. Not necessarily making that much of a jump between accents, although I guess there's that crazy statistic where it's like if you go every 2 miles that you move. In London, or every 2 miles, then there's something else. Like every 15 or 20 miles that you move in the rural countryside, an accent in England changes, and it changes like pretty significantly for those who know how to listen for it.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know.
I mean, it was an accent.
Yeah,
like it
was an accent.
Really like.
There were some times where I was like, all right, Christian, help me out here. Like, come on.
Wow.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. No, that was fun. I'm trying to think of. You know, what else really jumped out to me here?
I feel like we've run into another theme of just, like, obsession with something. Like, last week was Whiplash, and he was obsessed with
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like...
The theme of obsession.
I liked it. I felt like their feud was a little, like, petty and, like... Like, it would just be, like, weirdly, like, they'd show up in a disguise and ruin their show, and then he did it to him.
Well,
it was weird.
So,
it was,
I mean, it's weird in that you would expect two grown-ass men to, you know, be able to handle their differences, be able to handle that in a...
It's not,
you know,
even...
In an adult manner. But here's the thing, though, is that so oftentimes the people who we regard, you know, as necessarily having the power and the ability to settle disputes, you know, in an adult,
yeah,
responsible manner, so often choose not to do so. Case in point, everybody in the presidential race right now.
Yeah.
You know, people who are going to lead this country are verbally attacking each other in the most ridiculous ways on stage right now. And so to say, like, oh yes, a feud over whether or not, you know, which knot he tied, and then shooting a dude in the hand, like, that seems like a much more legitimate reason to,
yeah,
you know, break a few fingers and then, you know, to...
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even that. It was just like... I just felt like it was weird. He, like, showed up in a disguise, and he was like, ha-ha! And the other guy was like, oh, I'm also in a disguise! And then, did you notice the names of the different acts? So the first, like, he was, like, I wrote it down. It's, like,
enlighten me here.
It's the, the transported man, and then when Hugh Jackman did it the first time, he was like,
yes,
the new transported
man.
And then he was like, the original, it was like,
yeah,
well, mine's the better transported man. It was like a little, like, okay, guys.
Although I do feel like they sort of address that pettiness at the end of the film with Hugh Jackman's final speech, where he says, look, we both know the reason why we did this, and it was never about getting one up on each other. It was about this secret. It was about the looks on their faces.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, they never touch on it, but if you were an audience member if you were, like, an actual person who was, like, a theater goer in that time, like, you would know that these two guys did not like each other, and you would know.
And it'd be like, ooh.
And it would enhance your act. So on the one hand, you know, they have this personal conflict, but on the other hand, this conflict is something that they're getting swept up in because they're two gentlemen of the stage, two gentlemen of the show, and to be honest with you, they're sort of two halves of a whole. You know, that... The Professor show is not as good without, or it's not as mystical and, you know, intriguing, knowing that golly, edit this out later, but, you know, it's not as cool without, like, that nemesis, you know, that nemesis character. The same way that you, Batman, you know, is not as cool if you don't have the Joker. There's something,
yeah,
about the Joker and having that, like, arch nemesis and that arch villain that's necessarily, like, stands against everything that you have that makes... sort of both characters.
Yeah.
And this vice versa is, you know, true with Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, Hugh Jackman is not as cool without Christian Bale. Christian Bale's not...
Yeah, and they kind
Hugh
of
Jackman.
Touched on the fact that, like, Hugh Jackman had, like, the showmanship, but Christian Bale had, like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
actual tricks. Like, he could... Which...
Or one of the Christian Bales.
One of
the Bale brothers.
I just... That was a weird twist to me. Like, the twin thing.
The
like,
twin
I'm...
thing? Really?
Well... Not the twin thing necessarily, but the fact that they decided to live as one person.
I think that's a really interesting...
It's interesting, and I don't know, I was just more thinking, like, logistically.
I think it's a really interesting concept because, it, like, think about the sacrifices that you have to make.
Yeah.
The sacrifices that you have to make, not only personally, but for the other person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Even just logistically, and I know it's a Christopher, I know, like, suspension of disbelief, and I know that I'm not supposed to be thinking about this, but this is what I was thinking about on the walk over here. In order for that type of relationship to work, you have to be willing to literally tell, like, to sit down with the other guy at the end of the day and say, this is exactly what I did, this is who I saw, this is what I said, this is where we have to go from here.
Yeah.
There is an incredible amount of collaboration there,
mm-hmm.
which is, they never show that, but to be honest with you, had they done so, I think that would be one area where I'd say, this would have enhanced the film,
mm-hmm.
like, if you saw sort of the effort that went into it.
But then
and I realize that's not, it's, you know, it's... It kind of gets rid of the trick a little
yeah,
bit and whatnot.
Yeah, he just did a really
yeah.
cool hand move.
Yes, I'm jazz handsing it up
to,
you know, for effect at the moment.
Yeah.
I felt like I missed a little bit there. But at the same time, I necessarily realized that I missed a little bit there because you had to miss it in order for it
yeah.
to be a twist.
I really did appreciate the whole having to figure it out, and it kind of added to, like, the whole, like, I guess, theme of, like, magic and, like,
yeah.
wanting to know how the trick was done.
Yeah.
So, we were legitimately sitting there, like, sometimes talking over the movie and being like, well, if he has a twin, and then if it's clones, and then... So, I mean, I really appreciated that part of the movie.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, just logistically with the twin thing. I was thinking, like, how did no one know he had a twin? And then when did they decide to do this whole thing? And then, yeah. And I liked how they brought it back. They, like, pretty much brought everything from, like, the beginning, like,
yeah.
back. Like, with the other magician, the Chinese magician
yep.
guy. And
yep.
he was, like, he lived the part. And so, like, they lived the part. And it does take a lot of selflessness because they both fell in love. And they both agreed to, like, keep these relationship with these two women just... Which was correct. And, I don't know, I just thought it was weird.
I don't know.
Say.
I just thought it was weird.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Also, David Bowie out of left field.
Yeah, that was weird.
Tesla. Also, I was like, is that David... And then also... The double for Hugh, that was just Hugh Jackman again, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Because it was weird to me, and then they did the whole, like, they moved the camera in such a way that they were both on screen, but it also didn't seem like CGI, and I was really confused for, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, David Bowie as Tesla, that was kind of a weird, like, extra thing, I felt like. Obviously, he needed Tesla to, like, do the clone thing,
yeah.
but, like, I don't think it really, like, added...
Mm.
as much as it could have or, like, needed to, you know?
Because
mm-hmm. Tesla, well, I mean, also, I guess, just because it was 06 and not, I feel like now people are like, wow, Tesla was so much better than Edison. He's so amazing.
I feel like this movie might have contributed a little bit to that, you know, that sort of fervor surrounding Nikola Tesla that exists in the dark corners of the interwebs.
Yeah.
And I think also there's a lot of misinformation out there about who Nikola Tesla was.
He was a weird dude.
And, you know, who
so
also
weird.
Was It's one of those things where just as a if I may, this would
yes.
be one of the only times that I use my supposed history degree. Like, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that the way somebody tells it to you now is most certainly not the way it was. No matter how, you know, truthful they try and be, there's always some sort of, like, personal bias. And to have, like, literally, I want to say, like, a 128th of the internet devoted to Nikola Tesla. There's like a sizable amount of information about him and a lot of people
just,
who like claim him as the second
guy. Like, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He would have done so much more
yeah,
for
yeah.
the world
there's,
had Edison not screwed him over.
it's just one of those things where you're like, oh God.
Thank
oh God. Lord. Tesla is actually the reason that I did not see the twin twist coming. Because...
Do you think he like also...
No, because at the beginning of the movie, you hear Tesla's name and you hear Hugh Jackman say, "You built this machine for like an associate of mine, a colleague of mine, something that can." And you have Michael Caine saying, "This was built by a wizard. You know, it's real magic."
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking all through the movie that Christian Bale's trick is necessarily actual magic. Like,
yeah.
I'm waiting for the real magic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for it.
Real magic
and
science
so,
all along.
Even at that beginning, we'll get there. Even at the beginning, I was totally blinded by my want and my need to believe that Nikola Tesla had created something and had helped Christian Bale out.
Yeah.
And that Christian Bale had put this to good use. So, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Damn you, Nikola Tesla.
Right.
And your Serbian
well,
accent.
He was.
He's Serbian? Yeah, Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, he was,
American,
but
yeah.
was did he have a Serbian accent?
Yeah.
was
or
it
did
Serbian?
They, or did they just let David Bowie kind of
do
make
whatever?
Oh,
yeah, and
to
also,
do.
What's his name? Yeah, Andy Serkis was.
Yeah, Andy Serkis was also.
He was a human this time.
It was a weird.
Not in CGI.
Yeah, it was a weird.
Yeah, like I was. Yeah, it was like weirdly just like everyone.
It did not seem like a film that struck me as one of those things where they were like, we need to go out,
like, we need
find
ensemble,
as many
we need...
big names
mm-hmm.
as possible.
Yeah,
including David. Like, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was David Bowie until literally after.
Yeah, it was.
After I went with the IMDb profile, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, we were watching my
Why
film,
was
like,
it necessary to cast David Bowie?
That's,
like,
yeah, that was my thing.
That?
That's why I didn't
like,
think
don't
it was
tell
him.
Me that David Bowie's screen test was the best. Like, David Bowie's, like, very talented, but at the same time,
like,
I'm sure that there was somebody who probably looked much more like Nikola
yeah,
Tesla. And probably played the part a little bit better.
Yeah.
It felt like there were
I mean,
a lot of sort of gratuitous choices in terms of casting.
Yeah.
Where I was like, eh. Though.
Yeah.
Maybe this was the big blockbuster hit of the year. I don't know. I don't remember 2006 that
I mean,
well. I was like throwing rocks at people on the playground. And
10 years ago, man.
Yeah, isn't that terrifying?
It was 10.
Yeah. Wow, mm-hmm. This movie is a decade old. That's like the first time I've ever been able to say
right.
that about anything.
That's
and that's scary.
Yeah, I don't like that. Moving on.
Moving on from our mortality.
Yeah.
What didn't you like about the film? What did you think was not great? What could you use more of besides what we've already discussed?
Character, I felt like.
Yeah, we already discussed that.
I'm listing things, okay. yeah, character. And then, I don't know if this is necessarily a bad thing, but, like, it was at the beginning when he was like, are you paying attention or something like that?
Yeah,
kind of made me be like, ooh, I have to watch everything now. I have to watch everything. I have to look for every sleight of hand. And, like, so I was on my toes, but, like, so much so that it was, like, I couldn't be taken away by the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, have you seen the movie Now You See Me?
No.
Oh. Well, that's another
magic
movie.
That's the one where Woody Harrelson
yep.
and, like, Jesse
yes.
Eisenberg and... Oh,
they do magic,
God.
But it's, like, much
is it Emma Stone
more...
Grand.
No, it's Isla Fisher or... either Isla Fisher or the other woman that looks like her.
Oh,
Amy,
okay.
Amy... No, it's Isla Fisher.
I have a few of those.
Yeah.
God damn you, Edward Norton and John Cusack.
They look nothing alike.
They look so much alike.
We're
not
enough.
We're not doing this.
Could
we're not doing this
them.
For the listeners.
Okay. But yeah, but I think well, I was gonna say that I think there are a bunch of like, I guess references to this movie because at the beginning of that movie, Jesse Eisenberg it does like a narration that's a, like very similar.
Oh my God. I heard that movie was terrible too.
It was alright. Like I was yeah.
Woody Harrelson's in a trilby. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. It wasn't like. It was okay. I didn't hate it. It had entertainment value, but, like, it wasn't, like, the best plot out there.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then, yeah, Jesse Eisenberg kind of does a similar... His narration is longer, but he does a, like, are you paying attention or something?
Closely.
Like, you have to watch closely. And then, also at the beginning, Isla Fisher does a trick where she is dropped into the water and, like, appears to drown. And then, but, like, the trick is that, like, she's not drowning, but it kind of reminded me of that. / while she was filming, she actually almost did drown. So
wow,
yeah,
that is not cool, man.
No, it's not.
That's really not cool.
Yeah, that's what I.
You think like why would you not just? So now that you're saying this, one thing that occurs to me, they never actually showed the top of the box when the lid on the box slammed shut. Why would you not just like?
Just not have a lid.
Just not have a freaking lid on the
top,
man.
You have to get out somehow. But how do they get out?
No, like literally just don't, literally have a frame.
Yeah.
Literally have a frame that supposedly has plexiglass in
yeah.
it. And just slam it shut so that if the person is potentially about to drown, they can just
fine.
Poke their head up and you can redo the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you're going to have to blow dry them out a little bit, but it's sure, yeah. you know, it's a lot better than having to explain
having a dead
to,
actress.
You know, families and to the public why you have killed somebody. I guess we don't really know the story there, so
yeah.
I will do away with any further speculation.
Yes, yes.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. What did you not like?
What did I not like?
Yeah.
So it's less a problem that I have with, it's less a problem that I have with this movie in particular. More a problem that I have with movies like this, and more specifically Christopher Nolan films.
Yeah.
Which is that, and Graham is going to absolutely, Graham Pirro, our features editor and
preemptively apologize
yeah,
for
yeah.
anything that Chris says.
Yes, we actually asked Graham and our leisure editor, Brian, for recommendations on which movie to watch this week, and they both were like, oh my God, you have to watch. And I feel terrible because it was the first week that Danielle let me pick the movie.
Uh-huh. Yep. This is what happens.
This
although
what
I
happens.
Did pick Intouchables, so I can't really talk. So.
Fair enough. You know, it was a good experiment. It was good. It was a good exercise
yeah.
for the two of us. I don't like watching movies like this, kind of for the same reason that you didn't have such a great time watching the film, which is that you were kind of sitting there on the edge of the seat trying to figure it out the whole time. And Christopher Nolan, I think in writing this movie, knew that that was what you were going to be doing. You were going to be sitting on the edge of your seat going, all right, where's the twist? You know, like, all right, what is... It's a movie about magic, intrigue, mystique. Like, you're going to be sort of there, like, pondering. And I feel like I don't necessarily... I shouldn't say that. What I should say is I feel like in doing so, a lot of what really makes movies for me gets lost, like character or nuance or
yeah.
sound design or things like that. Like Whiplash was so phenomenal because of the choices that they made outside of the plot.
Yeah.
You know, the choices that they made extracurricularly. It has a great, if you think about it, like it's not such a great plot. Like Whiplash is essentially just like
very simple.
One man's journey to become the greatest drummer the world has ever known. And he has a teacher who's an absolute Pringle Lord. Like, you know, like it's like,
yeah.
it's not a great plot, but it's everything
it
that surrounds
gets
the
you,
plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest with you, there's no such thing really as an original plot anymore. So maybe that's, yeah, that's going to get really meta. But in any case, I feel like Christopher Nolan, I feel like Nolan, the two Nolan movies that we watched and just the few others that I've seen, focus a lot on sort of that misdirection and,
yeah,
that, and that, you know, that intrigue, which is not a bad thing. Like, they're obviously a lot of fun to watch, but I never walk away from a movie like this going, wow, that was a piece of art,
yeah,
that I think I am better for having watched. Like, I got up from Whiplash and, like, had to go for a walk because the final scene literally was so powerful.
Yeah, like,
The Departed...
You probably watched it, like...
oh, I've been watching it all week. Like, I've been watching it since we last, you know, talked about it. I got up from The Departed, I got up for The Departed, and The Departed is another film that's about, you know, sort of, like, intrigue. But at the
yeah.
same time, like, you know the twist. You kind of see it coming, and it's just sort of a slow train wreck
just like, oh,
to the
God.
End. Yeah, exactly. And I got it from The Departed going, oh my God, this is something that everybody should watch.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get up from despite the fact that this movie does its twist very well.
Yeah, I like this much better than Memento. Like, I got what Christopher Nolan wanted. I feel like he
yeah.
wanted me to get, which was like, I need to figure this out. What's
yeah.
going to happen next? But like, that doesn't necessarily make it like one of.
Yeah. He led me around by the nose.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once he kind of let go, I was like, all right, well. Thanks,
yeah.
man, for the ride, I guess. Cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I don't know, like a roller coaster versus owning your own BMW, you know? Like owning like a car that can top out at like 190 miles per hour. Like one was a lot of fun and it was crazy for the time that you were there, but now that you're gone, you're kind of like, ah, well, the thrill's gone.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, you know, it's kind of
like
a
you have to do this.
Continued
yeah.
journey, yeah. Which is a little, maybe a little bit of a stretch in terms of metaphor, but I definitely think
it's
applicable.
It was a noble effort.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, that was about it. Also, at times, I felt like I was watching the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes, where like, it's
yeah,
all...
Yeah, it has that vibe.
So,
it's just like,
oh, yes, it's England in the, like, the 19th century.
Yes,
and
yes.
There are gadgets and gizmos around and whatnot.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes.
Like, intrigue, mystery, and mystique, and
yes.
maybe that's just because...
Those.
You know, I went to the movies a lot more in 2009 than I did in 2000.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, this came before, so...
Yeah, yeah.
This kind of wins.
But who is on Sherlock Holmes? I think it's Guy Ritchie? Guy something. Golly, again,
do
I'm going to get absolutely reamed for not having known this.
How dare you not.
But, yeah, well, fair enough. But there were just certain moments of it where I was like, where's Robert Downey? Where is he? Like, he's popping out. Yeah, it is Guy Ritchie.
Just make a cameo.
Yeah, it's Guy Ritchie.
In the background.
I was like, where is he? Where's Jude Law?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Those are my feelings
yep.
on the movie.
I thought it was good for what it was, but it's probably something I feel like
I'm going to be feeling
movie.
This about every Christopher Nolan movie I watch.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's just him.
Maybe we need to have a retrospective on a few of these, and maybe we need to bring in some outside voices.
Yeah.
I think you and I...
Too similar, man.
I think in our artistic taste, I think we are too similar. Maybe we need an outside opinion, an outside critic.
So, like, maybe we'll bring Graham in.
I was about to say,
Brian,
we need a retrospective.
Someone
yeah.
to be like, this movie was amazing for these reasons.
Oh, Graham's just going to get mad. we need Brian.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
And maybe Graham to back him up.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, I'm finished. I'm fine.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Go on, what is it? GeorgeTomVoice.com/halftime to listen to more 250.
Obviously.
I forgot to check what number this was, because we've been doing it for the last three. We'd be like, what number is this? I don't know. I'll check next time.
Nah,
haven't checked. It's fine.
Right.
Listen to more 250, read more articles, generally enjoy yourself. Twitter, go on George, what is it? Halftime, at Halftime GU.
Yeah,
follow us
right.
on Twitter.
That's right.
Go on GeorgeTownStories.com, watch my video.
Oh my God. I swear to God,
it's gonna
happen.
Watch my
do
videos.
Something terrible, and you'll never see it coming. And when it happens, I will be wearing a beard, and I might possibly break someone else's fingers. Not yours, though, so don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're out.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Peace.
I once told you about a sailor who described drowning to me.
As he said, it was like going home.
I was lying. He said it was agony.